And Lord, we thank you that we can stand in your presence as the redeemed. You took our place so that we can have a seat in heavenly places with you. There's no song that we can sing. There's no words that we can give you, Lord, to appreciate. But we say thank you, Father, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we've worshipped.
Amen.
Amen. Can you just welcome someone and say, I'm glad that I am the redeemed of the Lord. On your left and your right hand side, as you take your seat in God's presence this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Honestly, if it's not that we have to say the word, I'll just keep on singing, you know? Anyone else with that vibe? Continue to sing, you know, till 12 p.m. Amen. It's good to see everyone this morning. And for those of you who were here last week, what have we been studying here in the church? The warfare in the mind. Yeah. And honestly, it was very tough this morning to come here because Pastor he's done justice, honestly, to that topic. He has shattered the tables, if I borrow that phrase. Sounds like, honestly, Lord, I don't know what else is there to say. But I'm just going to continue from where he left off. And as we've been looking at the warfare of the mind, I'm just going to go along and follow like a subtopic, which I've called the warfare against the mind, which can also be seen if you look at a portion of your life, the warfare against your salvation and ministry. The warfare against your salvation and ministry. And I'd just like to say that if you have your Bibles, whether it's in a phone, whether it's in a hard book, please follow me, and please do, if you can, take notes. And the first thing I just want to say, some of you may be thinking, why is she saying the warfare against your salvation? Why is she saying the warfare against your ministry? I don't have a ministry. So the first thing that I just want to say for all of us, that we all have ministries, but it's just that we see ministry as maybe someone is a pastor, maybe someone is a bishop, maybe someone is a prophet. But we are all called in our different areas of giftings, and we'll look at that later. And what I've done with this topic, Satan's war against your salvation and ministry, there are four areas I'd like to look at this morning. So, the first point, I'd like us to dig deeper against how Satan wars against our salvation. The second is how Satan wars against your ministry, and looking at your ministry towards your family. Your ministry could be as a mother. Your ministry could be the person you're aside in your workplace. We all have our ministries. And then the third point is how Satan wants to war against your ministry the marketplace or your career. And lastly, the devil wants to war against your ministry in your calling, which could be in the local church. Amen. I still got everyone with me. So I'm going to take us back to where Pastor Benson took us. And I know when he looked at the warfare of the mind, he looked at a number of areas. And one of the things that really struck out to me was when he took us to the story of the Garden of Eden. And he also used Gideon as an example of someone that we could see that Satan was warring with. So I'd like us to look at number one. What is the war against your salvation? And let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 26 through to verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, from verse 26 through to 28. And I'll read here. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The reason why I felt I had to read this verse is, God did not just create Adam, because this is at this point, he had only created Adam. He had not created Eve yet. He didn't just create Adam so he could sit and take pleasure in his handiwork. But there, Adam was created, and straight away, he was given his ministry. The Bible says there in verse 26 that God had made Adam in his image. And in verse 28, God had blessed him and told him that he should be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish, the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So Adam actually had a clear purpose. He had a ministry. But then later on, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 10, we see the arrival of the serpent, which is Satan. Let's see what happened here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, this chapter has progressed, and now we have Eve, who is the woman, on the scene. And the serpent said to the woman, ye have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat, therefore, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I'm going to jump to verse 8. And verse 8 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Can I ask us a question? Was it at the point that Adam and Eve ate the fruit that they became naked? They were always naked. So one of the things I found from reading this scripture is the way Satan comes to war against your mind and war against your ministry and your salvation is he tries to confuse you and make you feel like you don't have a purpose, you don't know who you are in Christ. And Satan came and he lied to them, and he said that when you eat the tree of good and evil, you will be like God. So what Satan's aim is to try and make us disobedient. And that's what happened there. And there's a point I wanted to make. So this is what happens to believers as well. If you look at Adam and Eve, the minute they were always naked, but it's when they ate the fruit, they then had the revelation, they started to focus on what they shouldn't be focusing on. They were always naked, but sin revealed guilt. One of the things that sin does and disobedience does, it reveals guilt. And I wanted to speak to people who maybe you're here or maybe you're not here, okay? You've given your life to Christ, and maybe because you're a human being, one of the things is when you give your life to Christ, Pastor Benson mentioned this, is it last week or weeks ago? He talked about, you know, you have your mind, your soul, your will, your spirit, but you still have this flesh, right? You still have this flesh. That's why when you're trying to fast and then they put your favorite meal in front of you, whatever that is. For me, those of you that, oh God, I'm so greedy, I don't even have one favorite meal. But pounded yam and there's something called efo, which is like spinach, right? that thing can tempt you even when you're fasting. So what Satan does is, maybe for some of you, you gave your life to Christ, maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and then maybe you entered sin. So let me give you, I remembered a testimony that this pastor shared, and again, please, what's that word? Disclaimer. This is not an excuse to go and sin. So there was a pastor, gave a testimony. He said that he was a pastor, but he had just finished committing fornication. And, you know, just like Adam and Eve, when you finish doing something, you know that God does not like, you feel like the whole world can see fornicator when you go out. And he was so surprised that even after when he fornicated, he still, God ministered to him and he had a revelation about something he was supposed to do in church. And he was thinking, how could God still speak to me after I had fornicated? And this also reminded me, I don't want to take us there, but I'm going somewhere with this. This just reminded me of Moses. Moses grew up thinking he was an Egyptian. Some of us know the story. Thinking he was an Egyptian trained in the house of Pharaoh. Then he discovers that really he was Saul and he was a Hebrew. And he saw one of his people being beaten. And what did he do? He murdered them. He killed them. And the Bible says that Moses was a fugitive and he fled. Some people say it was 40 years that he was in wilderness. I don't want to say the wrong thing. But he was in a land of fugitive. God had mercy on him. He found Jephthah and he was able to settle. But Moses was still running from God. But did God still use Moses? God made him have an encounter. Excuse me, I want to say something. Moses did not fast for 40 days. Did Moses go somewhere and do fasting and prayer for, I don't know, 40 days? But the Bible says Moses saw the burning bush and God sent him. And this is what I want to say to you this morning, that one of the warfares that we fight in our minds is your warfare against your salvation. There's some of us, maybe you've not been to church for, I don't know, a long time. And you want to go back to God, but you're like, nah, I've gone too far for God to use me. But some of you, you've not murdered like Moses. And God used Moses to do mighty things. The devil wars against your mind. Has it happened to any one of you? Maybe, let me speak to our choristers, right? Maybe like, you were like rushing your clothes and stuff. You didn't even have time to pray and stuff. And you're like, oh God, God forgive me. Even I used to say to Pastor Benz, I used to say, Pastor, are you really sure that I should be preaching? I'm not really. And the question I want to ask myself is it because I am perfect? Is that why God will choose me to preach? Is it because I'm perfect? Is that why God will use me as a chorister? Is it because I'm perfect? Is that why God will use me as an usher? No. It's just because he can work through you. And as long as you're open and you trust God, God can use you. So that's the first thing we need to war against, your war against your salvation. Don't let the devil trip you up. Don't let the devil... God, there's that story, isn't it, that God goes after that one sheep and he leaves the 99. So that war against your mind that says don't, it's a lie. The devil wants to make you feel that you're naked. What he did to Adam and Eve, he chased them out of the presence of God. But you know what is so amazing? I don't know. You know, some of us, when we grew up in Sunday school, when we read that story of Adam and Eve, they always drew the picture of when they were naked. Then when they were out of the garden, you saw that they had a nice fur, designer coat and everything. Do you know that? They let God down, but God is so merciful. He said, these my children, they don't know nothing. Let me clothe them. Do you understand that kind of God? That is how he is with you. Don't let the devil war against your salvation. So I just came to encourage us this morning. Okay. Because of time, I have a lot to say this morning. So we'll leave it there. The next thing that Satan wants to war against, he wants to war against your ministry. He wants to war against your ministry. And I'm looking at you saying that I don't have a ministry. Yes, you do have your ministry. Let us go to the story of Gideon. So Pastor Benson has been looking at Gideon as an example of a person that really struggled. He had identity crisis. He didn't think he was worthy enough to be used by God. Let us go to the story of Gideon. Let's look at Judges chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. That is Judges chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. So, verse 24, it says, "So Gideon built an altar to the Lord. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, 'The Lord is peace.' To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites." Verse 25, that same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of his height, using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, and offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So we know that Gideon, the devil was playing warfare against his mind. But the bit I want to look at that Pastor also alluded to is that Satan wants to war against your ministry to your family. This same Gideon said to the angel that ministered to him that, "I'm the least of the clan. I mean, my family are useless. How can anything good come from my clan?" And God is saying, no, I'm actually using you to set the Israelites and your family free. And I was listening to a preaching this week and it dawned on me, this thing really, 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 really got me. You know that a lot of us were sitting here, everyone in this place, you're from a family. Some of you may have maybe 12 brothers and sisters like me. Some of you are like, "Is that possible?" Yes, it is. Some of you may be the only child. Some of you may have your cousins, your nephews, and all of that. But do you know that one of the most important ministries that God is calling you to, and this is what the pastor was saying, is to evangelism. You're in your family for a reason. There may be people in your family who maybe they grew up in church like you, but you know that they're not really in the presence of God. And there was a story that really got me panicked this week, and I'd like us to go there. There's a story of the rich man and Lazarus. I'd like us to read it. That's in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 from verse 19. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. This story sheds a revelation about how a rich man, unfortunately, he didn't make it to eternal life. And he was calling out to Lazarus from where he was being tortured. So let me read Luke chapter 16 from verse 19. It says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man, he also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called unto him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, whilst Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us, you are a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.'" And I'm going to jump on to verse 30. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Actually, let me read that verse 29. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. So this rich man was pleading. He said, no, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. So you can see that this rich man was pleading that go and warn the people on earth so they don't come here. And one of the things the man of God said, which really shook me, is that I don't know how your week is. I know your week is bombarded with the bills, all this war happening in Lebanon, everything clouding our minds, right? But do you ever stop and think about how is heaven going to be? Do you ever stop and think about, after all is said and gone, my eternity is actually going to be in a place called heaven? Have you ever stopped and wondered about how heaven is, how your house will be? There was a joke that, well, it's not a joke, that a preacher said. He said they were discussing in their church how in heaven Jesus said that there are many mansions in my Father's house. If it wasn't so, I would not have said so. And someone said, even if I'm a gate man in heaven, I don't mind if I don't have a mansion. But then there was something that this pastor said that struck me. He said, he doesn't know how it is in heaven, whether you'll remember everything. But how will you feel if you're in heaven and you know, God forbid, that your family member is in hell? Would you enjoy heaven? Now, obviously, the Bible says he will wipe away all tears from our eyes and everything. I know that probably when you're in heaven, you may know that, I know this guy from somewhere. Whether you know he's your husband or not, I don't know. But I'm sure God will give you selected memory. And even if God wipes out the memory so that you're not in pain, because if you're a real person, I don't think you'll be able to endure eternity knowing, God forbid, that you're, God forbid, your wife or your child is in hell. Would you be able to enjoy heaven knowing that? So if you couldn't, what are you doing in your ministry now? What are you doing in your ministry now? And this is one of the areas that Satan causes warfare, evangelism. Let alone evangelism to the people out there. But how many of us know there are people in our family that are not right? And how do you feel that you could be in heaven and they could be in hell? I don't know if you've ever burnt yourself with an iron or you're cooking and your finger. Imagine your whole body immersed in that. I don't want to imagine it. So the devil, he wars against your mind and even your own salvation. Some of us say, I want to enjoy. Don't worry, I'm going to get serious with God, but let me just have fun now. Let me just enjoy my vibes. Let me just, you know. God forbid, God's portion is all of us will live to have a full, long life. But the thing is, none of us know. You understand? But one thing I know is no one can move the boundaries that God has laid. But I remember there was a rich man. I'm sure all of us have heard the story on the radio. This guy, one of the UK's billionaire, he had an AI company. This guy had just recently won his battle with the court for years where they accused him of overselling his company. I think he sold it to an American company. And this guy now, when he wanted to now relax, no more court case, no more of this, when he wanted to relax, I don't know where he was going with the yacht with his family, but do you know that a few days ago, they've been looking for this man. They found his body. And they're looking for his son. So what is so sad is you built all this wealth. Your children that should enjoy it, they also found your child's body. So you kind of think that, you know what, all of this, which I'm not saying don't pursue, because that's the point, pursue your career in ministry. But I want us to think very deeply about your ministry to your family. And this takes me to the next line, because I'm very passionate about this. mothers in the house, what is your ministry to your children? And we were talking about this on Friday. Pastor shared an example that when he was growing up, that when he was raising his kids, he did not allow his kids just to watch these sitcoms. Some of us know it, like, I can't remember. Someone mentioned The Cosby Show. There was one called My Family. I can't even remember. And he said the reason, not that there was anything bad with those sitcoms, but he didn't want his children growing up thinking that all these things they saw in a sitcom was, that's how life is. Do you understand what I mean? So what is the war in your mind as mothers? Let me tell you, I'm guilty. Sometimes you're like, but I need to go to work. Don't worry, I'll pray with him tomorrow. I don't have time to take my child to church today. And the devil come after all now. This work you're going, will God send money down from heaven for you to pay the bills? You're going to work now so that you can send them to good university and everything. Be on your way now. You're like, oh, that's true. Or maybe you're in the house. Sorry, guys, I'm old school. Although I might be young, I'm in my teens, I'm still old school. Maybe, I don't know, you have teenagers, and a teenager comes wearing, I don't want to say the word I want to say, but wearing maybe a really short skirt, a lot of cleavage showing and everything. And then maybe your husband says, what are you wearing? Oh, leave these kids. I know that she's saved, but you know, this is what's trending now. She's saved. Don't worry, I trust her. The devil is warring with your mind because you want to be cool. You want your child. But your ministry is to guide that child in the way of the Lord. And like, remember what we said earlier on, God forbid, how would you feel if you know you made heaven and you know that the people you're supposed to guide? And also as well, just on another note, something that came to me as well, with mothers, I'm very sorry, mothers and fathers, yes, let me be inclusive. You know, I just wanted to encourage mothers and fathers in the house. Do you know, the devil wars with our mind about our children. We worry about our children. So let me give you an example. And it starts from birth, right? So one of the things that I saw, because I have friends, or I know people who maybe they gave birth to children, their children were autistic, or maybe they gave birth to children, their children is very playful. Maybe the teacher said that the child is not concentrating in class. Maybe you have a child, the child is not talking yet or anything, and the devil bombards you. Remember what Pastor said with spiritual warfare. The thing is, the devil is so cunning. He will suggest it to you. He'll say, this your child that is so playful. Do you think your child will ever become anything in life? Didn't you see brother so-and-so's child? How old is your child again? Your child is 6. Your child does not know 4 plus 1. Do you see that child is already being promoted? Do you see that child? How old is your child again? Your child's not talking. Let me tell you then, you now accept it. You now start, the Bible says, whatever a man thinketh, so is he. You now accept it. And by you accepting it, you now start to see those things in your child. That's the war of the enemy against your mind. And I want to just encourage mothers, you don't need to compare your children. I'm sure my husband's not here, but I already took permission to say this. My husband, he did not know how to spell something like wood, W-O-O-D, when he was like maybe 13. He did not even know how to talk properly till he was, I think, maybe later on like 10. But if you meet my husband now, my husband sometimes is training people, helping people. So what is that the devil is saying to you? I remember what someone said to me a long time ago. He said, the people of the world, I don't know where, I don't care what they're called, they may be called doctors, they may be called speech therapists, they may be called so-and-so, they may have the facts, but God has the truth. God has the truth about your life, about your child, about your career. The next point that I want to look at is Satan wants to fight against your ministry in your career. And the person that I wanted to use for this was Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph. I don't want to spend too long because the story of Joseph is a beautiful one and it's a long one. And there's something that just dawned on me in Genesis chapter 39. This talked about, I think, Joseph in prison. It says, Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story. So remember, Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with Joseph. And what happened to Joseph? He was thrown in prison. And verse 20 said that, so he took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Excuse me, I don't know what you see in this story. I can see somebody is in prison and somebody is happy that he's a prisoner and he's doing his work skillfully. What I saw was that Joseph, the Bible doesn't go into details, but I'm sure that Satan was often scorning him and say, Joseph, you had this dream that you were supposed to be the star. Is this your life? Look at you, you're in prison for what you didn't even do. Satan must have been like, look at you in prison, look at your life. But you know what? Joseph, it said, did his job in prison diligently. And we know the end of that story. Joseph was remembered when he was called to tell the dream. And then Joseph was exalted to be a minister. Joseph was exalted to be a minister in Egypt. And one of the things that I wanted to say is, you know, at the beginning I said that Satan is warring against your ministry. And you're like, what's my ministry? I'm not a pastor. I'm not all these titles. But whatever your purpose is a kind of ministry. Now, a lot of us, maybe, I don't know about you, maybe please forgive me, but a lot of people, what do we see career as? A lot of people see career as a paycheck, right? But how many of you see your career as like my purpose? How many of you? Like, I always, every time I wake up, I always say, Father, Lord, God bless the person that created Amazon, Google, and YouTube, because I can't live without them. Especially, I mean, Google and YouTube has helped me early on in my career. Because can you imagine, in a meeting, the manager will say something, and you say, yeah. Okay, we're going to have lunch break. Lunch break is Google time, YouTube time. But imagine if Google, YouTube was not invented. Will I have time to start going to the library to find the book? Do you understand? And Amazon, I love the fact that I can just click and it's here tomorrow. Oh my God, Amazon, God bless you. God bless you. But you know what I saw? You know, I don't know if he's saved or not, God bless him, but God will allow everyone to work out their salvation with him. But if you can see your career as ministry, I tell you, God will take you far. And just like Joseph, do you see yourself in a dead end? Maybe you're not in the job or where you feel you should be. You're talking to someone that did a job they did not like, I think for about 7 years. But in that 7 years job, are you actually working diligently? What I'm saying this morning is don't let Satan bombard your thoughts. In that prison place, as Joseph did his job diligently, you do your job diligently. You know, see yourself in that place, that career, because I believe for any one of us, whatever God has gifted you with, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, God has sent you there for a reason. I remember talking to one of the sisters who is, I think, is a medical person. God will bring you across people who maybe are about to die. Or she said, someone just said, sister, are you a Christian? I feel like you're a Christian. Do you understand? So you are a priest in the ward. You're a pastor in the lawyer field. The devil, I want to speak to someone who's thinking that all is lost. Look at my purpose, my job, or whatever. No. Rise above those thoughts this morning. And lastly, as I close, I just want to encourage us about your ministry. What was the last point I said? Your ministry in your, let's see who was listening. In your career, what was the last fourth point I'm going on to now? Thank you. A+, A star. Your ministry in your local church. Now, I want to read something very, very quickly. I want us to turn to Revelation. Yes, I want us to turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, please. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. And this, you know, this is talking about the angels of the church and what they were saying about the different churches that they went to. And here it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. My focus is on the latter part, A, where it says, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. So when this angel is saying to the church, I know thy works, is he saying the church? He knows the works of the church. What is the church? The church is you, me, you. If you also go to the next one as well, Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. The angel again says to this church, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. But my focus is, I know thy works. So what is this saying? Heaven is telling us that. This is how I wrote it in my scripture. Heaven is telling us that every saint in heaven, God knows their works and God knows their address. Just like DVLA has your license and your address and HRMC, heaven has your name and your address. Your address is not Hillside, Hill Davis, Pontypridd. Your address is CFT Bristol Church, Forest Road, whatever church you belong to. If they know their works, they know your church. So your work in the house of God is very important. And one of the things I want to say, you might be saying, oh, but Sister Remy, this is just the angel of the Lord. But if we go, why did Jesus teach about the parable? I want us just to go to that story quickly and I'll paraphrase it. Jesus also talked about the parable. So as we saw that heaven knows our works, heaven knows what church you belong to. He knows your work in that church. In the same way, Jesus is interested in our works. And that's why Jesus, he told the story of the parable of the talents. And I was just trying to look for the scripture there. I believe it's in, I have it there. Okay, the parable of the talent is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. So it's a very long read. You know, Jesus always talked in parables, and he was talking about how different servants with different parables. So I'm going to jump to verse 15. So he said, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents and more. Verse 17, also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more, but he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of the house servants came and settled account with them. And we all know what happened. I just want to jump to the end verse. So when the master was now asking the one who hid his talent in verse 24, he said, he also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And when I went and hid your talent in the ground, here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. At my coming, I should have received what was my own interest. So take that talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not even, what he has will be taken. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, into the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When I used to read this thing, I used to be like, but that master is so wicked. Just because the guy didn't use the servant, he was cast out into darkness. And I tell you, this parable is one of the things that make me do the things I do. Not that I love Jesus, but honestly, every time Pastor told me to come up here, you can ask him, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this? What happened to the plan I had? Plus Jesus minus Satan, that's my plan. Plus Jesus minus Satan, take my Bible. Off I go in my car. I don't even want to be known. But this is saying, Jesus said he's interested in our works, in your local church, and he's interested in what you do. So what we've been looking at, rounding up, is we've been looking at the warfare against your mind. We've looked at it in different facets. Today we focused on the warfare against your salvation and the ministry in your own family. It could be as a mother, your personal life, your career, in your ministry, in your local church. So I'd like us to just rise up this morning in prayer. Because our headquarters church just finished celebrating a theme that they called Time is Up. And the trumpet could just be at the mouth of that angel. And he's just waiting for the instruction for Jesus to say, blow that trumpet and the return of the Lord will be here. But it will never be our portion. We will never be found wanting in Jesus' name. So we're going to say, Father Lord, help me, O God, not to run out of your presence. And help me, O Lord, to walk in your will, in your purpose, and to carry out my work as you will, in Jesus' name. Let's begin to pray. Some of us here, you know, our work may be ministry to our family, maybe usher in the house of the Lord, a choir member, a pastor, whatever it is. No role is better than the other. No role is better than the other. It's just all about building the kingdom of our Lord Almighty. We just say, Father, Lord God, with everything I've heard through your word this morning, help me, O God, to overcome the thoughts of the enemy in my mind. Help me, O Lord God, to work out my salvation with trembling and fear. Help me, O Lord God, to work out my ministry. Help me to understand that you have assigned me. I'm not just here on earth. I've been called to my family. I've been called in my workplace. I've been called to my local church. Father, Lord, help us. And we bring under subjection every thought that lifts up itself against the knowledge of God. we bring it to captivity. The Bible says our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Any stronghold that may be in our mind, as we leave this service this morning, we go free in the name of Jesus. Every seed that our Heavenly Father did not plant is uprooted in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to take a moment and pray for any family members or friends that we know who have not given their lives to Christ. If there's anyone in this building right now and you feel like you've not given your life to Christ, this is the most important decision in your life. It determines your eternity. Just want to say that God's arm is open. There's nothing that is too bad that you have done that God will shut you out. That's the lie of the devil. So anyone in this place, if you're not giving your life to Christ, Jesus Christ, he's been here even before we opened the church. Where two or three are gathered in his presence, Jesus is here walking up and down with a big smile on his face. He's not judgmental. And we lift up our family members, those who maybe they backslided, maybe they've derailed. Father, Lord Jesus, bring them back. Bring them back. Bring them back into your fold. Bring them back into your fold, oh God. Bring them back into your fold, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.